Welcome to the Health Ranger Show. I'm your host, Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, editor of naturalnews.com, one of the largest natural health websites in the world, now reaching over 1 million readers a month. And have you ever wondered who's going to win the presidency in the United States and what impact that might have on healthcare? People are terrified over the healthcare issue today, and you probably have experienced some of this yourself. You stay in a lousy job that you don't like just because they offer healthcare, and you're afraid that if you lose that job or quit, you won't be able to find health coverage anywhere, because if you try to buy it privately, they nail you over pre-existing conditions, right? They won't give you the coverage that you need, and you've been paying into that system year after year after year, huge amounts of dollars every month, and then they deny you coverage. That's the way the system works today, and it is a system that is designed to keep you diseased and bankrupt. And I'm going to tell you about that system, how it works, and why no presidential candidate that has a chance of winning now has any kind of realistic solution for the healthcare crisis that's facing our nation. Not just the people, but also the employers, the companies that are footing the bill for this as well. And that's one reason why so many jobs are leaving our shores. They're being offshored to countries that have better healthcare systems or less expensive healthcare systems. And by the end of this show, you're going to find out that this entire system that we call healthcare in this country is a giant scam. It's a huge corporate-sponsored con designed to do just two things: keep you in a state of disease and take all the money out of your pocket and out of your bank account. And when you die from the side effects of pharmaceuticals, bankrupt, even owing money to the hospitals, then the shareholders of those corporations consider that a success because they made more money off of you by exploiting your body than they would make if they showed you how to stay healthy. I know it's a serious topic, but let's dig into it here. Let's not hold back. Let's tell the truth, which is something that I'm pretty well known for doing on the air, especially about healthcare issues. Let's start at the top. Today we spend, in this country, 84% of our dollars, government dollars, on three things. That's war, disease, and debt. Of course, the government itself would call it defense and health and debt, but it's actually war and disease and debt, and in this show we're going to focus on the disease part of it. They say they're providing health care. I say they're providing only sickness care, and they are avoiding teaching people how to stay healthy. And there's a very peculiar reason for doing this. It's really not that mysterious. It's a reason of profit. And now we have presidential candidates who are telling you they're going to solve the healthcare problem. Hillary Clinton is famous for her healthcare platform. And Barack Obama, we don't really know what his healthcare platform is, although he says he stands for certain types of reforms. But let's look at what these candidates would be inheriting if they were elected, even if McCain were elected. And I think if he were elected, we'd probably see just more collusion with Big Pharma, because that would continue in the Republican line. But on the other hand, if Hillary Clinton were elected, her plan is to mandate that every person purchase health insurance, and she would start fining citizens who couldn't afford insurance. I find that to be just bewildering. She would financially punish people, make it a crime, a finable crime, to not purchase health insurance. That's her plan for, quote, mandatory coverage, or health insurance that covers everyone. When she says a national health care plan, she doesn't mean that the government's going to come along and offer a socialized medicine plan. She means that at the threat of a fine, every citizen is going to be required to purchase health insurance, whether they can afford it or not, and whether they need it or not. For example, I don't carry health insurance at all. I only carry catastrophic injury type of insurance. For example, if I went skydiving or bungee jumping on the weekend and a piece of equipment didn't work and I fell and broke a hip, then I'd be covered for that. But I don't have health insurance because I follow an extremely healthy lifestyle, for one thing. My chance of ever getting cancer is just about zero. My chance of getting diabetes is zero. my chance of getting heart disease is zero as well because of the extremely clean diet I have, the intense nutritional supplementation. I get sunlight every day, I exercise, and I don't have any toxic chemicals in my house. I don't use toxic shampoos or laundry detergent or cologne, which is made with toxic fragrance chemicals. I don't eat sausage and processed meats that are made with sodium nitrite that causes cancer. I don't eat processed foods. I don't participate in that whole system of sickness and disease, and so I don't need health insurance. And I haven't been to a doctor in, 6 years, and I don't need to go. And so, under Hillary's healthcare plan, people like me, and perhaps you, would have to buy health insurance and pay money to a corrupt system that's focused on keeping people diseased by giving them pharmaceuticals and chemotherapy and surgical procedures. We would be forced by our government to pay money to that system. So much for health care freedom in America, huh? So much for that idea. Now here's the thing that all of these politicians have forgotten. That you cannot fix the health care problem in this country by simply deciding who pays for sickness and disease. They're all playing a shell game, folks. All they're doing is mixing up the shells and trying to hide the cost of a nation that's diseased. They're trying to shift the cost to some other party. Some people want the doctors to make less. Some people want the health insurance companies to make less. Some people want the government to pay more, or the taxpayers to pay more, or the customer to pay more right at the doctor's clinic, or the drug companies to make less. These are all shell games, folks. This entire conversation has no bearing on keeping people healthier. The way that you fix the healthcare problem in this country, and the only way that you can fix it, is to start teaching the population how to be healthy and how to prevent disease. Now, how much disease is actually preventable? 98% of all cancers are preventable by simple changes in diet, nutrition, and lifestyle. Almost 100% of type 2 diabetes patients could have prevented that disease. Almost 100%. We know the answers to this. We know exactly how to prevent and even how to reverse type 2 diabetes. 80% of breast cancer can be prevented by one nutrient. Just one nutrient. It's the miracle nutrient, and it's available for free. What nutrient am I talking about? Vitamin D. Vitamin D prevents 80% of all cancers, breast cancer, prostate cancer, leukemia, liver cancer, colon cancer, pancreatic cancer. 80% prevented by one nutrient. And then if you add in other nutrients that prevent cancer, like broccoli sprouts, omega-3 fatty acids, seaweeds and sea vegetables, natural vitamin C helps prevent cancer. Medicinal mushrooms like reishi and shiitake and all the medicinal berries and all the different plants that are out there provided by Mother Nature to prevent disease. If you add all of those in, you can prevent more than 90% of all cancers in this country. You can prevent at least 70% of all cases of Alzheimer's. You can prevent maybe 80% or more of all cases of osteoporosis. And you can prevent nearly all cases of depression by changes in diet and lifestyle. Changes that are, in fact, very simple. These are not complicated changes. This is not actually rocket science. The answers are right in front of us. We have the technology and we have the knowledge to prevent these diseases. Now think about this. Right now, one out of every $5 spent in this country, that's one out of every $5 of GDP, or gross domestic product, is spent on disease. Now they call it healthcare, but I'm calling it disease because most of it's just disease care. Now think about that. 20% of our economy is spent on disease. And is any of that money actually causing people to be free of those diseases? Are any patients having their cancers reversed by conventional medicine? No. Conventional medicine says they haven't even found a cure. In fact, conventional medicine and pharmacology hasn't found a cure for anything. They claim to be looking for the cure, and they're holding all of these public events, running around in circles, pink ribbons, yellow bracelets, whatever. They claim to be searching for a cure, and they've been searching for a cure for cancer since the 1960s, spending billions and billions of dollars, and for some reason, they still can't come up with a cure. And you know why, folks? Because they're not looking for a cure. They're looking for the next blockbuster drug that they can sell that manages the symptoms of cancer, but also creates a cycle of dependence so that the cancer patient needs to keep buying their drugs over and over again, because that's how you make money in this country if you're a greedy corporation that has no ethics. You find a way to hook a patient or a customer on your products so that you can keep selling it to them over and over again. And the last thing you do if you want to make money is show somebody how to cure a disease so they leave the hospital and never come back. You do not make money showing people how to walk out of the hospital and be healthy and live a life free of pharmaceuticals and not needing medical care because they're so darn healthy. You don't make money by showing people how to take care of their health. And that's the problem in this country, folks, is that we have a system of sickness care that's based on one thing: profit. It's based on greed. It's based on shareholder value. And the shareholders in a pharmaceutical company, they don't make money when people get well and avoid the need for pharmaceuticals. They only make money when people get sick and stay sick. And the longer they stay sick, the more money the shareholders make. And so every decision made by that corporation is made in the interest of the shareholders. It's part of the rules of every corporation. It's part of the articles of incorporation that you have to make decisions that maximize the profits for that corporation. In fact, any corporate officer working for a drug company that made a decision harming the financial impact on the shareholders, that is, taking money away from them, that officer would be fired. Could actually be sued, in fact. So every corporation makes decisions that are in its own financial interests, only financial interests, not social interests, not ethical interests, and certainly no corporation runs around trying to just compassionately help people get well. Now, that's the image they try to portray on TV, that they're using all this money that they're taking from people with these overpriced, monopoly-priced prescription drugs. They're using all that money to search for tomorrow's cures. That's what they say. Well, let me ask you this. If a drug company took all this money that people are raising and donating by holding marathons and holding all these fundraising events, if they took that money and invested it and found a cure for cancer, do you honestly think they would give that cure away for free? Are you kidding me? If such a cure could ever be found, which, by the way, is biochemically impossible because cancer is not a virus or a bacteria, it's actually a systemic issue. But if there could be a chemical found that would just cure cancer, you take the chemical, cures cancer, do you think that company would give it away for free? That would be the most profitable drug ever created in the history of our civilization. They would sell that drug at the highest price they could possibly get for it. They would sell that drug and they would make trillions of dollars in profits. And thus, their whole story of taking your money so they can search for the cure is really a clever way of using people's guilt to get the public to fund their own R&D efforts so that they can create drugs that will make them filthy rich. That's what it's all about. It's just a clever way to get the public to pay their R&D costs. Now, if a drug company said, oh, we'll take your money and we're going to search for a cure, and if they pledge that if we find the cure, we're going to give it away for free, or we're going to give all our future drugs away for free, we're not going to seek patents on our drugs anymore, that would be different. But they won't do that. They won't do that because they're in the sickness business. They're in the sickness industry. They depend on you being sick in order for them to make money. So where is all this heading then? Well, if we're spending 84% of our dollars our federal spending dollars on war, disease, and debt, if one out of every $5 being spent in this economy is spent on disease right now, and if that number is growing, it's about to become 25% of GDP, one out of every $4 being spent on disease, what kind of a future does that paint for our country? Can a country survive and prosper if it's spending 25% of every dollar produced by its economy on sickness? No way. Not a chance. This country, folks, is not just going bankrupt, it's already bankrupt. And the healthcare costs are just driving it even deeper into debt. Think about this. The only thing that's keeping this country afloat fiscally is the fact that central banks of foreign countries like Japan and China are still willing to loan money to this government. A government that has no ability to pay back its loans, that has no willingness to pay back its loans. A country with a population that's more diseased than any population of any nation in the history of our world. How on earth do these foreign banks think that they're going to get paid back from the U.S. government? They are not going to get paid back. And so here's how the bankruptcies are going to happen. It's going to be a series of rolling bankruptcies. You're going to have personal bankruptcies, households and families. You're going to have municipal bankruptcies, cities and states. And you're going to have a federal bankruptcy. And when all this ripples through, we're going to wind up broke and diseased, dying from conditions that are perfectly preventable if we only had the sense to wake up and start preventing disease in this country. Did you know General Motors spends more on healthcare than it does on steel? Really, these healthcare costs are driving corporations off our shores. They're forcing them to go overseas just to stay in business, just to stay competitive. And then we've got a federal government that, under the Bush administration, made such a lousy deal with the pharmaceutical companies that it actually made it illegal for the government to negotiate volume pricing with drug companies. How insane is that? Only under a system of greed and collusion and corruption could such an agreement ever have been reached between the federal government and the drug companies. And as you know, as you've learned, if you've been listening to this show for very long, or listening to the Alex Jones show, which I also recommend, or Jeff Rentz, which I recommend, you know that the corporations run this government. The corporations run this country. So it's really no surprise that the government would act in the interests of the corporations. But I promise to talk about solutions. There are solutions available. They're radical. Oh yeah, they're radical, because we need some radical changes if we're going to make a difference and turn this thing around, because things are so messed up. We need to take the profit out of disease. So how are we going to do that? Here are my suggestions. Now, I'm making these in all seriousness, but I don't expect they will ever be adopted, because they're not in the interest of the corporations and the power people that run this country. These suggestions go against the status quo. They empower the people, not the corporations. They're suggestions that make common sense, but they might not make corporate fiscal sense. They're suggestions that decentralize power, take it out of Washington and put it back into the hands of the people who live in this country and the doctors who practice medicine locally. It puts power back into the hands of the citizens, where it belongs. That's where power is supposed to be in this country. That's what our founding fathers said and understood and tried to dictate in the Constitution. That's what they try to do, is create a system where the people are in power, and now the government and the corporations and the media have taken most of that power, and they've left us in a state of chronic disease and bankruptcy. That's where they've left us. So what are the solutions? Number one, end all patents on medicine. That's right. Take away the intellectual property for medicines, because why should medicines that are supposedly created for the benefit of humankind, why should they be made to benefit just one investor or one corporation? In fact, I'm for ending intellectual property laws on medicines, genes, and seeds. I think it's wrong. I think it's evil. for corporations to claim patent ownership over the human genome. Did you know that 20% of the genes in your cells right now are, quote, owned by corporations? That's true. The U.S. Patent Office has granted patents on your genes, which means technically if you have a child and reproduce those genes, you are in violation of U.S. patent law. And someday, they could potentially start charging you a royalty. If you happen to replicate the genes that they have patented, they could send you a bill. Sounds crazy. I know, it sounds completely insane. But so does the idea of patenting genes in the first place. Why were they given those patents? This is a real issue. So we've got to end the patents. And that way we take the financial incentive out of the pharmaceutical industry to just keep creating fictitious diseases. Now I hear what you're saying. Skeptics listening to this are saying, well, what's going to be the incentive for them to create new medicines that we really need? Well, first of all, 80% of the medicines that are created today are just Me Too drugs that are no better than the older drugs that went off patent. No better at all. They have, in fact, many of them are more dangerous. But the drug companies can't make money off the old drugs that went off patent, so they try to discredit the old drugs and they hype up the new drugs. And they hire their drug reps to go into doctors' offices and convince them, prescribe the new drug, prescribe the new drug. It may be the same antihistamine, it may be the same blood thinner, it may be the same statin drug, just with a slightly different molecule, a slightly different health claim, a slightly different package, and a new fancy-sounding name, and a big television advertising campaign. The truth is, folks, 80% of the drugs that Big Pharma releases each year and promotes, and that doctors prescribe, offer zero benefits over the older drugs that went off patent. So most of the pharmaceutical promotion is just nonsense. Secondly, when people ask me, well, if drugs were not able to be patented, who would have the incentive to come up with drugs? That's the assumption that there's no other organization that would have any interest in keeping the people healthy with certain drugs that might be necessary. For example, universities could come up with drugs, or governments could come up with certain drugs that might be needed, like anesthetics or certain targeted antibiotics and so on. You don't have to have a profit incentive to create things. For example, U.S. government put a man on the moon in 1969. They didn't make any money doing it. They did it because it was important for them. And of course, it was important because of military technology. But I think a government with the right leaders could have the foresight to invest some R&D in medical technology and not have to have corporations making billions of dollars off of it. Because the problem is, when you put the corporations in charge, then they have incentives to make people sick. They have incentives to invent fictitious diseases like ADHD, which is a completely bogus, fictitious condition. Doesn't exist. There's no test whatsoever. You can't see it under a microscope. You can't see it on an MRI. There's no blood test. It's a completely fictitious condition, but it sells a lot of drugs. You take away that profit incentive, and then you can get back to a more common sense healthcare system that's focused on keeping people healthy rather than running TV ads that convince everyone they're diseased. You see, the system we have today is based on just how much money can you make by convincing people that they're diseased. Second thing we need to do, we need to ban all drug advertising. In fact, it was banned before 1997, except in medical journals, but you couldn't just advertise pharmaceuticals to the general public on television. It makes no sense, because the public, they're not doctors. They can't make decisions about what pharmaceuticals they need, so why should you advertise to the public? Well, the FDA allowed it. They legalized it in 97 and 98. And since then, drug profits have skyrocketed, because now the drug companies can use the power of television advertising and magazine ads and even radio ads to brainwash the public into thinking they're sick, into thinking they're depressed, into thinking that a cholesterol number is now a disease, or that prediabetes has to be treated with drugs, or that they need to come in and get screened for breast cancer, and so that they can be treated with cancer drugs, regardless of whether the breast cancer screening process is really accurate. Because the truth is, 10 women are harmed by mammography for every one woman that is helped by it. I've got an article about that, citing the study, on naturalnews.com. Check that out if you question that claim. But it's true. And today, sickness is a business. And if we take the profit out of it, then we can get back to a healthcare system based on keeping people healthy so that people can contribute to a better economy anyway. So that people can stay alive longer and share their ideas more and be more creative and more productive and more functional. That's how we create abundance in this country, by keeping people healthy, not by keeping people sick and then taking profits out of our shares in the pharmaceutical companies. That's a ridiculous concept. We don't create abundance by making money off sick people. We create abundance by teaching people how to be well, how to have healthy children, how to have a healthy future. The next thing we should do is ban junk food marketing. Junk food companies, which include fast food joints and soda companies and snack chip companies and all the companies making products that promote diabetes, obesity, heart disease, and cancer, those companies should not be allowed to advertise their products. That would be a big change, wouldn't it? Probably much of the TV would just be silence, because most of what you see on TV today is just junk. It's pharmaceutical ads and junk food ads and soda ads, all the stuff that makes you sick and broke. And that's what the media loves, because these companies have lots of extra money to invest in advertising. That's why the media, the mainstream media, is so biased against natural medicine. They love soft drink companies. Oh yeah, they love snack companies, they love beer companies, they love drug companies, because their products make so much money that they can spend a lot of it on more advertising. And so TV companies and cable news stations, they love that. They get more money from it. But I say we've got to ban that marketing, because why should a company be allowed to promote products to children in particular that we know will harm those children? We know that soft drinks, for example, are made with high fructose corn syrup, an ingredient that directly promotes diabetes and obesity. It also contains phosphoric acid, which is, of course, a highly acidic chemical that eats away bones. It destroys healthy teeth. It causes osteoporosis. In young people, even men in their 20s, for example, are now suffering from osteoporosis. It causes kidney stones and gout. Why should a soda company be allowed to advertise this dangerous beverage to children? We have children now who are obese and they're only 7 years old. We've got children so young now getting diabetes that they had to change the name of the disease. It used to be called adult onset diabetes. They had to remove the words adult onset and just call it type 2 diabetes, because it's striking so many children now that the word adult seems kind of ridiculous. Children are getting an adult's disease. Children are now being diagnosed with heart disease and cancer at levels that we've never seen before. And children are being diagnosed with depression, and then they're being put on antidepressant drugs, which of course makes them crazy, makes them violent, makes them walk into their schools with automatic weapons and blow away their classmates. This is medicine? Are you kidding me? This is not medicine. This is not a system that has the welfare of the public in mind. This is a system that only exploits the public. And I say we end it by banning the advertising of junk foods to children, especially. I think we should ban them outright, altogether. So far then, the suggestions are end patent protection on pharmaceuticals, end the advertising of pharmaceuticals, and end the advertising of junk foods. What's the next thing we should do? We should end government subsidies on those junk foods. Why should we use taxpayer dollars? You may not even have been aware of this, by the way. Taxpayer dollars are being used to provide extra money to sugar, to the sugar industry and the corn industry. And what do you see when you walk into a grocery store as the most unhealthy processed foods? Corn products and sugar products. Now think about it. Whatever you subsidize, you encourage the public to consume and eat. Because, of course, people are on a budget. They want to buy food at the lowest price they can. So the poor people in this country are now buying more sugar and more corn. What does sugar and corn do? Well, sugar causes diabetes and obesity and nutritional deficiencies that lead to depression and other problems. What does corn do? Well, how do you fatten up a cow? You ever heard the term corn-fed beef? You fatten up a cow by feeding it corn. How do you fatten up the American population? You do it by feeding it corn. There's corn in everything. There's corn in the cereal. There's corn in the tortillas. There's corn in the chips. It's almost impossible to get away from the corn. And then, of course, there's the high fructose corn syrup, which is an unnatural, isolated substance extracted from corn that promotes even more diabetes and obesity. And now we have the government subsidizing these two industries. Which means, of course, the government is trying to motivate people to buy more products that are bad for their health. I mean, you could make a strong argument for a conspiracy behind this. I'm not going to go there. Because I'd rather talk about my suggestion, which is, why don't we start subsidizing products that are healthy for people? What if the government started subsidizing organic produce? Making organic apples and organic celery and organic broccoli less expensive than sugar and corn. Gee, a whole lot of families in this country would start buying more organic produce, wouldn't they? And then they'd have better nutrition because there's more nutrition in organic produce than in conventional produce. And people would have fewer diseases. And then healthcare costs would go down. Kind of an interesting cause and effect, isn't it? Too bad no one in the government is interested in actually doing what's right for our country, it seems. Only what's right for private industry. The sugar industry, why do we need to subsidize sugar? This industry is very wealthy. It has a monopoly control over the sugar industry, over all sugar. Even imported sugar is taxed to protect the monopoly here in the United States. We've got sugar in everything. There's sugar in salad dressing. There's sugar in pizza sauce. There's sugar in cornbread. Cornbread is really corn cake. It's corn and sugar, mostly. The two things that we're talking about that we don't need more of. So why are we subsidizing corn? And why are we subsidizing sugar? We've got to stop that, and we've got to start subsidizing the things that are healthy for people. All right, next thing we need to do. We need to provide, at taxpayer expense, which means the government pays for it, nutritional supplementation for all women of childbearing age. All expectant mothers should be given free nutritional supplements to prevent birth defects and give their newborn children the health that they need to avoid medical costs, to enhance brain function. I mean, we could save billions of dollars a year, literally billions of dollars a year, if we just gave a couple dollars worth of nutritional supplements to expectant mothers. Because the cost of giving birth to a deformed baby is in the millions of dollars, and over the lifetime of that baby, it can be tens of millions of dollars. It's a huge cost to society. But it costs almost nothing to prevent birth defects. Almost nothing. Just a few pennies a day of just zinc. Zinc alone prevents 70% of low birth weight babies from being low weight. I mean, if you wanted to make an investment in something in this country, this is the best investment you could possibly make. Nutrition for expectant mothers. Make it free. We should also be running public service ads about nutrition. We should be banning dangerous ingredients in the food supply instead of just regulating them. We should ban them. We should ban, for example, high fructose corn syrup, I think. We should ban partially hydrogenated vegetable oil. We should ban sodium nitrite, which causes cancer, and it's found in all the processed meats. We should ban artificial food colors that cause ADHD, and we should ban various chemicals in the foods that are promoting cancer and diabetes and heart disease right now. These are just some of the many suggestions that we could use to solve this problem. Now, we'll continue with this topic on a future show because there's a lot more to talk about here. There are many more solutions. If you have a question that you'd like answered in a future show, email it to radio@naturalnews.com. You've been listening to the Health Rangers Show. I hope you enjoyed it. We will continue this discussion later on. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed this, and I hope you have some ideas that we can talk about on future shows. So I'll talk to you again soon.